Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio here on Sports Talk 97.7. We're talking Saints. We're talking Saints all day. That's what we do. The Saints pick up a win. Lackluster. We've been discussing it for the last hour. Heath, not happy. He's not happy about it. Tomas, a little bit more optimistic. I think we're going to find out a lot when we play Atlanta on Sunday because, quite frankly, I'm making a lot of excuses for him, and I do realize that. I just feel like we've seen a good team. But now, after our discussion, after an hour's worth of talking with you guys, I'm starting to really be concerned that maybe the injuries are catching up with us, and maybe that's why we're not the same team that we used to be. Now, instead of having those 12, 14-yard runs occasionally, now we have to throw the ball to a guy like Coleman, who puts us in a position where we're not...
Some things are healthy to talk about.
One a day men's.
Sometimes it's just not healthy that he's getting that many balls.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. But I tell you what, you know what we haven't done, Tomas, and I blame this completely on you. You want to guess what it is?
No, Dave, what's that number again?
The number that you know, listen, we get deep into these conversations and we don't let the number.
It was the alien.
Out to the folks. Yeah, we spent like the entire break talking about ancient aliens. If you haven't seen it, it'll I mean, it's fascinating.
Yes.
It's compelling.
Yes.
It's compelling. I don't believe in aliens, but after watching that show, I'm a little bit more open-minded. But the number, Tomas, if you want to call in.
What is that number, Dave?
Talk about ancient aliens.
Yes, sir.
701-901-1295. And that's the graffiti hotline. Give us a call. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and take our first graffiti hotline call.
Right. Hey, guys. It's B-Train again. There's two things I want to comment on. First, I've noticed a severe drop-off in Don Bobo coverage lately. and I just think that if there's any chance that we beat the Falcons or take the division this year, we need to start getting back to focusing on what's really important. And two, just a shout-out for Marshawn Lattimore. He's up for Rookie of the Week again on the NFL website. So even if it's a long shot, if everyone can get in there and smash the vote button, I think that'd be great. Thanks.
Hey, absolutely. We've maybe lost a little focus, and maybe some of this is our fault, how we not haven't been playing that well.
Yeah.
Lost a little bit of the magic, a little bit of the juju, whatever, how you want to define it. B-Train, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. You've been calling almost every week, man. We like it. We like it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and Lattimore won Rookie of the Week.
Yeah.
Third time, I believe, this year.
And the Pro Bowl. So,
yeah,
you know,
got the Pro
listen,
Bowl, so.
For those of you who are just tuning in, as we're broadcasting, wait, never mind. I'm just going with it. Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Cam Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore. They're your Saints Pro Bowlers 2017. I think they're all very deserving of it. Matter of fact, is there anybody that you feel like maybe got left out?
Silence.
Yeah, I mean, maybe y'all put your phones down for a second.
I don't think anybody got robbed or anything.
I think they picked the six best
now
players.
Now I can't get y'all to shut up at the same time. What's going on here?
Now, I think the Saints picked the six best, most impactful players from the Saints squad. And interestingly enough, the rookies that made it are the best draft picks we've had. And again, I go back to Ireland. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, and what is it? Ingram and Kamara accomplished something that hasn't been done since 1975. Is that what it was?
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, they all deserving. All have had a huge impact on a winning team. So I can't see, in trying to think about it, I don't see anybody else. Well, I do now. The offensive linemen. Not one offensive lineman.
Because they work well as a team, but as individuals, none of them really stands out.
Well, and then I don't know if I agree with that. Yeah. Maybe there's a lot of competition, too.
They're strong players, but I don't believe that any one of them really is a guy who stood out to people and said, man, that guy is really, he's a beast of that. They're good. Armstead's been hurt on and off.
Yep.
Warford's been hurt on and off.
Yep.
Pete's been hurt on and off. Unger's been hurt. I mean, you go down the line, the only guy who hasn't been hurt is Ramchek, really.
I think
he's got some Pro Bowls in his future.
Exactly right.
So, you know, I still think that.
Let me throw this out here. Would it have shocked you if, maybe Crawley had made it?
Yes. I think Crawley.
If you look at his numbers compared to other cornerbacks,
that's why I would say no.
I think Crawley's a little bit. There's a little bit of.
You just don't like him.
Homerism.
You know, one of my pick.
No. Just a little bit of homerism. Yeah. A little bit. I don't know. I think he's very good, but I think that how many guys make the Pro Bowl at cornerback? Eight. Total four from the NFC.
Like that,
I know they mix them in. I don't even watch the Pro Bowl, so
they did before. They're not anymore. Now they go. Last year they went back to the NFC, AFC.
Okay, so I would imagine there's four cornerbacks on each squad. If you really think about it, out of 64 starting cornerbacks, I mean that's a lot of competition. If you make one of the top, four, that's a huge accomplishment.
I'm trying to remember how many I voted for. I think I voted for six.
Well, so now you're going to open up a whole nother door.
Still six out of, given the numbers, 6 out of 64, that's elite.
Yeah, and if you could just sit there and vote over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, I voted three times.
That's one of the things that makes the Pro Bowl, lessens the Pro Bowl in my mind, is the fact that,
popularity contest.
It's a popularity contest. It's not even, in many cases, it's not even a popularity contest. It's like, that guy's on my team. I'm just going to sit on the internet while I'm supposed to be working and just click, 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 over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm sure people do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it diminishes it, in my opinion, a little bit more. Let's switch gears. We were doing this in the first hour. We did the good, the bad. We didn't finish the ugly. Hmm. Tomas seems to be very excited about the ugly.
He hasn't
let it go. So sometimes, those things just kind of fade in the background. Tomas isn't letting it go. So, Tomas, I'm going to have you start off.
Tell me
you're ugly.
My ugly is the play of safety in this game for the New Orleans Saints. It seemed to me that we didn't have the same response from our safeties that we've had in the past. Crawley played well. Lattimore played well. But still, you only play as good as what's behind you. And I think we all agreed that it seemed that Marcus Williams wasn't really playing the kind of ball he's played in the past. It didn't seem like he was all that enthusiastic to ring somebody up.
We talked about that in the game. I don't know if maybe he's still a little injured, but there were times, now that you mention it, we actually talked about it.
Usual, he has one good play and three bad ones. So, and then we had Bush play it actually for a little while. Banjo, but they didn't stand out. None of the safeties really did something, and I think that's why the Jets were still in the game. I think the Jets were in the game because Teo is not Klein, but he still played respectable. Davidson was putting on lots of pressure from the defensive line, and Cam Jordan was knocking down everything coming his way. I think that the weakness on defense in this last game was back from the safety position, and so that would be my ugly. I just don't think they played worth 10 cents.
There was a play in that game I think Teo was trying to cover a receiver 30 yards down the field.
Exactly. And you can't let that happen.
And his safety not even in the picture until after. And, we talked about it. Safety has always been, to me, the hardest position to evaluate. You just don't see the guys a lot of times. They're out of the picture. You don't know what their responsibility covering all the time. And so I don't ever really know, And then people say, well, if they're not talking about them, that means they're playing pretty good. They're doing what they're supposed to. Well, I don't know, I'm just not so sure that the safety play has really been –
yeah, just watching some of the highlights and watching the game, it just came to me. I was like, they're just not playing the same way they played in that 8-game run that we had. Even like when we came back on a Washington game, man, they were putting on some good hits. They were in the right positions. So, to me, it just seemed like the safety play was the real ugly part of the defense.
And again, until you reminded me, I had forgot that we even really kind of talked about that during the game. It's just Williams just wasn't coming up as hard as he has in the past.
Nope.
And, one of the things I'm looking forward to next year, we're still talking about a whole bunch of rookies. And Williams is a guy that I'd like to see him get that offseason of weightlifting and professional, nutrition and all the things that those guys have to really change their body.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things – and it was a criticism of his coming out of college – was that he wasn't a great tackler. Now, I don't really see that, but I do now see that he's not a big hitter.
Right.
And not that he doesn't try, but he's just not one of those guys that you see coming up from the secondary 15 yards
tattoo
back.
Somebody.
And just
Von
tattoo Von Bell, he's a different type of player. Now, having said that, if you try to put Von Bell at free safety, you're not going to get the same productivity you get out of Williams. So there is a give and take. You know, every position, there's a reason why those guys are a certain type of player. Yeah. So, matter of fact, let me read an email from Dave, who emails me just about every week, and here's some of his thoughts. Ball security, one a day, just not playing smart. I don't necessarily agree with that. He took a vicious hit on the first one. The second one, I think that's your stereotypical. You catch the ball, you got to secure the ball, especially with a defender by you. He says that Breeze has quit forcing plays and he's taking sacks to protect the ball, and I agree with that. He said you turn the ball over and offensive players turn into defensive players and Wolford gets hurt. And there is some validity to that. I mean, there are guys going different directions and all these. And NFL's tried to put a bit of a kibosh on it because we've now seen, matter of fact, the linebacker Davis from Carolina was suspended for 2 games. Then it was reduced to 1 game on appeal.
Yeah.
But still, these guys on these transitions where there's an interception or a turnover, these defensive players turn around and catch guys not looking. And while that's not exactly what happened to Wolford, anytime you get, especially big guys like that, moving in different directions and, you know, in space, and bad things happen. Those guys are not supposed to be out there in space.
Well, that was on the interception, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's what his point was, is that, you know, you throw the interception and you get guys, offensive guys turn to defensive guys, and it causes a problem. One of the other things that, Heath, I think Dave might have been directing this to you, is the team had their letdown game. It happened to New England in Miami, but the Saints won. So I find that I find that interesting. I agree the Saints had that trap game, but they found a way to pull it out. And I tell you what, man, I was a little nervous. I went into the game. I wasn't, you know, I was a little disinterested. Watched every play, but sometimes when the game's not as interesting and you feel like you should win, I'm do a little bit more talking, a little bit more socializing, and less focused on the game. And at one point, I'm going to ask you guys this question. Tomas, at any point, did you think, man, the Saints are going to lose this game?
No, but I was concerned that they weren't playing to their best ability. That it did concern me, as I said to you. You know, it's like they came out and they just didn't have that kind of passion for playing. They were just kind of just playing, you know? And I thought, well, if we just kind of play, without the mistakes, again, we've said this, we were saying this during the game, without those two fumbles in that game, the Saints win this game by 30 points without really even trying.
Right.
Because that's what I did. I didn't see the fire in their belly. You know, I didn't see them like Heath was
saying. Completely agree with that.
You know? They didn't come out and say, man, Atlanta kicked us. I don't care about the calls. I don't care about the referees. Let's go out there and just wipe the field with these people. I didn't see that. They didn't have that burn. And again, this is one of the weaknesses. I thought about doing this for the bad, but I didn't. Now, I'm glad that we had an email about it. I find that Drew Brees is causing us to have a problem. I know people are going to say, what? Because he's playing to not lose. I've said this so many times in professional sports, really in everything in life. When you play not to lose is when you're going to lose. You've got to play to win. So we have a great running game. Fantastic. But Drew's got to get back there, and he's got to figure out, this play, I've got to throw the ball. I've got to make the defense play honestly. Even if they don't catch it, throw it at their knees, throw it at the whatever. But you've got to get back there and throw. You can't sit back and go, he might be covered too close. I can't throw it there. Oh, maybe there. No, boom, sack. Oh, he's got it too close. Oh, I don't know. I'm just throwing it away. But you can't play that way and expect to win. Because sooner or later, this is professional football, the defensive coaches are going to figure out how to close down Kamara. They're going to figure out how to take advantage of our offensive line being jumbled around. They're going to figure it out. And the time to figure it out is right now. You know, we playing this round robin thing. You know, if Atlanta beats us, we'll be lucky to make the playoffs as number six.
Well, you know? If Atlanta beats us, the scenario would be as long as we beat Tampa Bay, we're still in.
Right.
So all we have to do is win one of the next two
four
games.
And not
no.
Five.
Now and that's the problem is we wouldn't win the division more than likely unless. And now I have to think about this some more. Unless Atlanta would lose their final game.
To Carolina. And then Carolina wins the division.
So we got to win.
Because they'll have one more game ahead of us.
Right. The most competitive division. I feel like now I'm going to give you all my victim speech here. I feel like back in the late 80s, early 90s when we had those amazing defenses, the Dome Patrol.
Yes.
But
yes.
The 49ers were in our division.
Right.
So every year, you know, it would be we would win 12, 13, 14 games, but it'd be the 49ers. And it, now it's like I just hate when you look at the league. Matter of fact, let's look at the AFC. I mean, there are going to be teams that are going to get in the playoffs maybe with an 8-8 record.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are guys that are like in the playoffs right now with only 6 wins, or maybe after this weekend it went up, but I'd have to look
at it. Well, Kansas City, Oakland, and can't remember the other team.
It would have to be the Chargers.
Yeah, that's what it's Chargers. That's what it is. Chargers, Broncos, no, Chargers, Raiders, and Kansas City were all tied in the West.
Yeah.
Right? So, and they were tied with
at 6-6.
Yeah, at low numbers, you know.
Right.
Oakland loses.
You may have teams get into the AFC at, you know, like you said, at 8-8,
yeah.
And you're going to have teams in the AFC that are going to miss the playoffs at
10-6. That's correct.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have a Tomas rant, and we're going to have more Saints football to talk. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, Sports Talk 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sing it. By the time you guys hear, Christmas already passed, so it's like a little pre-Christmas.
Yep.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. I'm Dave Romero. I'm here with Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio. We're talking Saints. Matter of fact, last segment, we talked about the way that the Saints, it seems like, and I know this is probably just me complaining and belly aching and being a homer, but it seems like we're always in that competitive situation where when we having a good season, there are other teams in our division having a great season.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be in AFC this year, and I know I've said this many years past. It's just the Saints have a very good team. I know we've talked about the injuries and different things. I think Sunday's game against Atlanta will tell us a lot. Was this just a letdown game against the Jets? Is that why we didn't play so well? Or is it the deterioration of all the injuries to the team? It's going to be interesting to see. But I sure would like it if all the other teams at NFC South were 6-7 win teams right now. Take a little pressure off of us, because I'm telling you, Sunday I'm going to be – I'm going to have to take some blood pressure medication. I'm going to – all these things. It's going to be nerve-wracking, just like the last Atlanta game.
Yeah.
It's going to be – and then last Atlanta game, we knew we had a little leeway. We had a little – we could lose that game, and it wouldn't be the end of the world because we're playing them again in 2 weeks. Well, here, 2 weeks have passed almost, and we'll be playing Atlanta on Sunday. And, I mean, is it just me? I mean, feel free to jump in at any point and just share your thoughts or whatever, Tomas.
Well, I'm just going to say to you that we're in the same position we were then. We have to take care of our own business. Can't worry about what Atlanta does, what Tampa Bay does, what North Carolina does.
Yeah, I was calling North Carolina. That's that new name.
We have to worry about what we do. We win the last two games. Does it make any difference what they do? You know, we win the division. So that's how I have to look at it.
Well,
I can't worry about the other team.
While profound, the question was, will you be nervous?
No.
No, whatever, man. Whatever. I remember, what was it, the Atlanta game where me and Tomas didn't talk the whole first half. He said something, and I'm like, rah, 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 and he said, rah, rah, rah. I was like, all right, and then then by halftime.
We got no tight end. This is the problem with this game. We have no tight end. I think that's the only thing I said the whole first half.
Anyway. Matter of fact, I think right there you sound a little fired up.
I am.
Maybe it's a good time. Maybe it's a good time.
Oh, my God, it's going to blow.
It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That don't mean anything to me.
It's going to blow.
My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's going to blow up.
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Now, you know, Dave was just asking me how I'm going to feel. Well, here's what I'm going to feel, Dave. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof.
Oh, here we go.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
The poetic reading. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Well done, sir. Well done.
Now let me get onto the rant.
Get upset.
I have watched a number of games Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I am still going to go back. You're talking about the Atlanta game? Okay, I'm going to go back to the first Atlanta game. Because over these past few days, here's what I've seen. Is that a catch or is not that a catch? Is that a pick or is that not a pick? Is that interference or is that not interference? Is that holding or is that not? This game is about the players on the field. This game is not about the men wearing bad pajamas and black and white stripes. Yet they want to make it their game. I have seen so many bad calls. And by the way, did you see who was on the squad to referee the Saints-Atlanta game again? Oh, you might want to look up and see who that squad has.
Did they get Jonathan Vilma?
No, I wish. No, no former Saints are on this squad. But you might want to look and see who's on that squad. His name, his last name starts with an M. All right, that's what I'm going to tell you. Now, here's what I'm going to say to you. My rant is very straightforward. The head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers said, I'm on the committee, and we're going to have a lot of work to do when it comes to these kinds of calls by the umpire. You know, it's about the rules. It's not just, you know, I want to blame the umpires, the referees, whatever you want to call them, the line judges. I wanted to blame them. But the more I thought about it, it's the freaking rules. Because they're just interpreting what the rules say. Was that a catch or not? Was that a fumble? Now, let me ask you this. If you're running down the field and you're trying to make it to the end zone, and at the 10-yard line, you get hit, and as you get hit in the field of play, you fumble a ball, it rolls out of bounds at the 5-yard line. Who gets the ball? Does the defense get the ball? No, they didn't touch it. They didn't recover it. They didn't touch it. They don't get the ball. Any place else on the field, they don't get the ball. But if you're stretching out to try to make it into the end zone and they hit you, and you're in the field of play, the ball crosses the goal line out of your hand and tumbles out the end zone. Touchback. Defense get the ball. Why? They didn't do a damn thing to deserve that ball. There's a rule right there that needs some further interpretation. Clarification. What's a catch? So the man catches the ball, crosses the plane of the goal line, hits the ground, bobbles the ball, but it never leaves his hands. How is that an incomplete? Did a defensive guy come in and swat it away? Did the defensive guy recover it? No. The guy on the ground who was not touched by a defensive player. No defensive player touched him. Crosses the goal line, bobbles the ball, incomplete pass. So my rant is quite simple. We have two games left. Two games. And I'm telling you right now, there are going to be some calls that we're going to be bent out of shape about. I have no doubt about it. There's going to be some calls, and we're going to say, are you kidding me? And they're going to say, no, we're not. So, I don't want to believe in conspiracy theories, but I definitely believe that the Rules Committee for the National Football League needs to sit down and really define what is a catch, what is a pick, you know, where these penalties need to be called, and then I go back to what I said before. Every official needs to be a professional, needs to be a full-time employee of the NFL. There you go. There's my rant.
So what I'm gathering here is you are a catch rule denier. He's one of those deniers.
Yeah.
So I think we need to get into that in the next segment because we're almost to the break here. And when we come back, we're going to figure out why you can't understand the simplicity of catching a ball in the NFL.
Well, simple things.
It's
simple
the BS and Beer podcast crew, Tomas, Heath, and Dave, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be fun.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Hey, it's Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, the BS and Beer podcast crew here on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Tomas, we started to talk about it a little bit at the end of the last segment.
Yes, sir.
We were up against the break, so I'm going to bring it up this segment.
Yes, sir.
You are what I now call a catch rule denier.
That's what you said.
Yeah, you can't accept that the rule for a catch is pretty clear to me, and I hear people complain about it. I realize I'm in the minority, but here's my perspective.
Go ahead, and then I'll clear it up for you.
Okay, and you tell us what's actually going on.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because your opinion doesn't matter.
Here's the thing. I realize the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
I realize that it's an emotional thing. The guy catches the ball, turns upfield, gets into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I don't understand why people can't get. They may not like it, but the rule is that you have to catch the ball and control it through the ground. So when you hit the ground, you can't bobble the ball. You can't. Mm-hmm. It can't move in your arms. You have to control it. You can't fumble it. You can't bobble it. You can't. It's not a reception until you hit the ground and still possess the ball. Now, my argument, the thing that I really do support the rule is, at what point do we just say that, man, you get two hands on the ball, you secure it. You obviously snatched it and stopped its forward momentum. And then now, as soon as you hit the ground, the ball can fly out and it's still a reception. The point is, at some point, you have to have, at least in my, I don't understand why somebody would think that you can hit the ground and the ball can come out and it would still be a reception. Unlike a running back who actually has the ball, possesses the ball, dives across the end zone, and the ball hits the ground and comes out, he's already, there was no reception. When you're catching the ball, you have to actually go through the process of a reception before you are a runner. The only thing is now the argument being made is that they're saying that, well, like, for instance, the receiver in Pittsburgh,
yes,
that he actually became a runner. He caught the ball, he turned upfield, and by turning upfield, he then became a runner. So, but to me, I'm like, the rule doesn't say that. The rule says that until you turn, I mean, at what point, that would be the only argument that I can see, is at what point do you become a runner? Because the whole catch thing, to me, I like the rule. I think it's obvious. Catch the ball, don't bobble it. You got a reception. These people are catching the ball, falling on the ground and bobbling it, dropping it, it's hitting the ground, and they still want the reception. I think that's nonsense. You got to catch the ball, possess the ball. But where the argument is open for debate is, when do you turn into a runner? When is the reception, the process of receiving the ball, over? And then you're a runner. So then once you're a runner, then you can fall on the ground and bobble it, and it's still a reception.
Mm-hmm. So the Saints are known for their screen passing game. So let's take that example. Drew Brees calls a screen play. Mark Ingram goes out on a screen. Brees gets hit as he throws the ball. The ball is not a good pass. Mark Ingram stretches for the ball. He catches the ball as he's falling down, but he caught the ball. He turned forward, hits the ground. The ball comes out. The whistle blows. Saints ball right there. Well, how come? Well, because the ground cannot cause a fumble. So anywhere else on the field, anyone who catches the ball and makes any kind of football move, hits the ground, the ball comes out, it is a reception, because the ground cannot cause a fumble. If you are a wide receiver and you go out and you catch a diving catch at the ball, you stumble forward, no one has touched you, the ball is juggled, your hands have still been on the ball the whole time, the ground, and this is where I don't have a problem. If the ground helps you to hold on to the ball, then I can say, yep, that's not a completion. But if your hands are on the ball, you've caught the ball, you hit the ground,
No defensive man has touched you. And catching the ball, hitting the ground, you bobble the ball, but the ball is still in your possession. You get up and run. They're going to call that a completion.
Well, you're saying the ball never hit the ground.
Right.
I mean, you can bobble the ball as long as the ball doesn't hit the ground.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. See, this is where you're mistaken. If you bobble the ball.
No, not if you're going out of bounds.
No. In the game where Pittsburgh, tight end, Jesse James, caught the ball, leaned forward, crossed the plane of the goal. He clearly crossed the plane of the goal. He bobbled the ball, but his hands kept the ball from touching the ground. The ball did not touch the ground. How do you call that an incompletion?
Well, okay. Now, having said that, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I was casually watching the game. Yeah. Now, if the ball never touched the ground.
It did not touch the ground. The ground did not help him hold on to the ball. His hands were on the ball. When he hit the ground and he had already crossed the plane of the end zone, he bobbled the ball. There's no doubt that the ball moved in his hands.
Right.
But the ground did not help him to keep the ball in his hands.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying irrelevant what you're saying. As long as the ball doesn't touch the ground.
That's correct.
You can bobble it. You can juggle it. You can throw it up in the air. As long as the ball doesn't touch the ground, then it should be a reception.
This is why I say there has to be clarification of this rule. Because in the several replays that I've seen of this, the ball doesn't touch the ground. The ground doesn't help him keep the ball in his hands. He's got his hands on the ball. One hand is underneath the ball.
Huh.
So now how do you say that's an incompletion?
Well, I guess where we differ is I thought the ball hit the ground. Like, and when I say hit the ground, the way his hands were, the ball bounced. When he hit the ground, the ball came up. Now, obviously, if the ball didn't hit the ground, then we have nothing to debate. But now it's just a matter, and this is where the problems come in. The referee sees it one way, and obviously the Steelers see it another way. The way I saw the play is that.
Now, we've seen it a bunch of times.
Sure.
Okay, we've seen it a bunch of times. Do you believe that what you've seen is enough to clearly overturn the call on the field, which was a touchdown?
Without a doubt, it was not a reception.
All right, well, we'll have to agree to disagree.
And we can agree to disagree.
I just believe that the rule needs to be clarified. I don't believe that the rule is clear enough, in my opinion.
Okay, so then I got to ask you. So, like, I guess it's pointless if you don't think the ball hit the ground, because I don't disagree with you if you say if the ball didn't hit the ground, it should have been a touchdown. 100% agree with that. But now we're just getting into looking at the film, and what you're seeing and what I'm seeing are two different things. I feel like when he hit the ground, the ball came out of his hand. His hand came up and the ball hit the ground, even though his fingers might have been under the ball. He wasn't controlling it. That's the way I saw it. So, to me, I don't know exactly. And here's the thing. I heard them talking on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
That they were saying that, you know, the NFL.
Do they have anybody still commentating on the NFL? No, go ahead.
Right, there's none left. At least, you know what's sad about that is all of our Saints, the guys who got beat up, we lost all of our Saints support from.
No, Reggie's still there.
Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
Okay, Reggie's still there. Now, back to the point is the NFL didn't just have all the owners come in and start deciding. They brought in all kinds of receivers, and I understand.
The coaches are a part of the committee, too.
Yeah, so this thing, and I'm not saying they might not want to revisit it to make it, to simplify it, but I know I'm in the minority, but I have no problem with the catch rule. The only thing I have a problem with, or that I think needs to be clarified, is there has to be a defined time when the reception is completed, because this is where these problems are coming in. Dez Bryant back in the playoffs. This Jesse James play for Pittsburgh. There has to be a time when you can say, at this point, he is no longer a receiver. He now possesses the ball. So what happened with Jesse James is, if he was declared a runner, then once he breaks the plane of the end zone, it's a touchdown. Game's over.
That's my next question I'm going to ask you. Did he not cross the plane of the end zone with the ball in his hands in control?
Absolutely.
So therefore, if Drew Brees, 4th-and-1, on a half-foot line, what does Drew do? He jumps over the top of the pile, extends his arm out, and pulls his hand back. Now, if he extends his arm out and at that point starts pulling his hand back and someone knocks it out, is it a touchdown?
No, it's a touchdown.
Oh.
But the difference is Drew Brees is a runner.
Yeah.
He is not a receiver.
Yeah.
Where the questions are coming in is, at what point did Jesse James, in that instance, Dez Bryant, at what point did they complete the process of catching the ball?
Yes.
and now become a runner. Yeah. Because that's where the problem is.
Because that's the same thing in the Detroit game. You remember the Detroit-Atlanta game?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that.
That's the same issue.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the one this year?
This year. Well, Detroit clearly won the game at the end of the game.
So I think that this is where the clarification needs to come.
Yeah.
At what point, and I'll keep going back to the Jesse James thing on Pittsburgh.
Yes.
When he catches the ball, and then he turns to the end zone.
Yes, and he puts his hands across.
I think
and
there's
the ball
a very good argument to be made that when he made the physical attempt to go to the end zone, that at that point he was no longer a receiver. He had caught the ball. He is now a runner who has possession. The process of catching the ball was complete. But what they're saying is, and this is where the argument comes in, because I think the rule for reception is fine. It's just, when does the player turn into a runner, and now they just stick the ball out, and then once they cross the plane, they can knock it out of his hands, like the Drew Brees illustration you used.
Yeah.
Knock it out of his hands. It doesn't matter because he crossed the plane.
Right.
But what they're saying is, at that point, he hadn't become a receiver or a running back yet. Hey, let's hit the graffiti hotline, take a call real quick, Tomas. All right.
Hey, guys. It's Wesley TX13. Not really going to try and say too much about last week's terribly ugly game, and just hope that we can move on from that. I do hope that one a day goes down to zero a day. I'm guessing that we were just trying to reward him for being a great blocker, so maybe we thought we'd get the ball in his hands. But you know what? Larry Warford's a great blocker, and we're not trying to devise any schemes to get the ball in his hands either. So I think that we can probably move on from that, get Ted Ginn back this week, and get him back to just the blocking, and maybe rename him Zero a Day. Excited about Falcons Hate Week. Time to get revenge. Have complete confidence that we're going to win these last two games against the Falcons and Bucks and kind of be rolling going into the playoffs. Getting that first game in the Superdome is important. Really sucked to hear about A.J. Klein going down today and being on the IR. I was really hoping to get him back. Can't wait to hear what you guys think about that. Who dat?
Some things are healthy to talk about.
One a day men's.
Right. Some things are healthy to talk about. Not so much Coleman right now. Listen, I'm super disappointed. The AJ Klein thing, Tomas.
Yep.
I think he is a very solid player, and it's a disappointment. It's a blow to the defense. Yet another starter that we're down. This might be the one year, more than any other year, where I appreciate winning a Super Bowl has a lot to do with luck and staying healthy.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to have the right people, the right combination of chemistry on a team. And yes, if you have injuries, they have to be at a certain point during a year. Certainly not at the end.
Right.
You know, when you lose somebody in the middle of the season, you know, like Dallas did, you know, you can live then as long as you come back at the end.
But absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7. We'll be right back with our picks for the week.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Tomas.
Hey, brother.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio.
Yes.
Sports Talk 97.7. Talking New Orleans Saints football. But now it's time to do the picks. Having said that, we have a lot of good games across the entire NFL, because I like when the NFL changed their structure to put all these division games late in the season. It really does make the end of the season a lot more interesting. Today, Green Bay at Minnesota. I say today, meaning the games that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
These are the interesting ones.
And Green Bay's out.
Aaron
Rodgers.
Man, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I'm looking at it, and I'm still trying to find the games where Minnesota and the Rams can lose. But I tell you what, these teams, I feel like they just keep getting stronger.
Yep.
Or at least, I don't know if Minnesota's gotten stronger. They just keep persisting. They've been solid all year.
Yep.
They play really good defense. Their offense, I mean, has their moments, but they're a solid offensive team. They play tough football. I don't know. They haven't gotten better. They're just the same team they've been all year. They've just been very steady. The Rams, to me, seem to be improving, and probably on the heels of the whooping that they put on the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just ugly.
You know, there's a poll that came out that said that between the Rams and the Eagles, who's really the number one team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that the Rams took it, 56%.
I could see it now that Wentz is out.
Yep, that's what I said.
And listen, Bubby Brista played really well last week.
After putting a scare on him.
Listen, he did well, but I tell you what, the Giants, now that I'm thinking about it, he played well.
Because I was shocked.
But the Giants just exploded offensively. Right. Every time we looked up, it was a long touchdown.
7, 14, 20.
And the Eagles and Bubby Brista just kept coming back. They just kept
What was it, like 20-6? And then all of a sudden I looked back up, was it 21-20?
It was 20-7, and all of a sudden it was like, wait, how did they score two touchdowns?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then I said, well, you know, this is kind of what you expect. You know, every once in a while you go in, and like we've been talking all day, I've been giving the Saints a little bit of a pass, saying it was their kind of trap game. Well, I think the Eagles kind of felt the same way, and they went in there and
woke up.
The Giants just kept making big plays. And after Philadelphia caught up, I'm like, okay, this is when the Giants fade away and Philadelphia just rolls on. But the Giants just kept at it, man. They were just making big plays after big plays. And, again, you have to feel, especially the Giants, one of the reasons they're having such a bad season is the fact that they're decimated by injury.
No wide receivers.
So all
like
these,
the Saints.
All these playmakers. Saints, but the Giants have no running backs either. They just have no playmakers.
Yeah.
And the Saints, while they don't have a strong receiving core, they have a very strong offensive line and obviously two Pro Bowlers at running back.
Yep.
I tell you what, let's get to the picks and then Tomas can read off the leaderboard to us. How about
all right,
that?
Go ahead. So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
I mean, Tomas is just feeling it today, man. He's dancing around. I like it. I like the energy, man.
It's Christmas season,
I tell you what, I'm kind of feeling a little lethargic like
haven't
the Saints were
yet,
this week.
Okay.
Yeah, you know you're going to have it, too, this week.
I'm
feeling a little bit like the Saints, a little lethargic. You know, it's like next week, it's going to be for real. A little eggnog. You take the eggs off. Yeah, all right. Why don't you read us the leaderboard, Tomas?
All right, here you go. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people tied for first place.
Wow.
Cincy Saint. The Bridge. Saint Craft Toots. Lord Boudreaux. Captain Cheesy. And Joe Groove. These six are tied for first place at 108. Then we have 4 tied for second place. Cool Saint Guy NJ. The OGBHB. Rob 22278, and of course BS and Beer tomorrow.
There we go.
There you go. It's the top 10.
Okay, so listen, before we forget again, we have to do a code word, and I think it's pretty obvious this week. The code word, girth.
Girth
has to be the code word.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Like Larry Warford.
There you go.
Girth. All right. So let's get to these picks. So I mentioned Green Bay at Minnesota. At one point, I thought that but Aaron Rodgers, they put him back on IR. Done for the season. Green Bay mathematically out, but
yes,
it's here. So, matter of fact, there's no line on it yet. So just pick a team.
The game's actually in Green Bay.
Yes, it's in Green Bay.
Oh, okay, Green Bay. Gotcha.
But either way,
I'm going to give it an 8-point spread. That's what I'm doing.
All right, going to give it 8 points.
8 points.
Right.
8 points.
8 points.
Yeah. That's the
I mean,
Romero
being
spread
in Green Bay and had Aaron Rodgers, still been playing and Green Bay still had something to play for.
Yeah.
It may have been a different thing, but
right.
With things the way they are now, I'm definitely going to have to go with Minnesota in this game.
All right. Tomas?
I feel the same exact way. I don't see Green Bay muscling up with Hundley. Just don't see it.
I'm going to have to reevaluate my spread.
But so I've got double digits, I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Me too. I'm going with Minnesota. All right. So here, again, Tennessee loses to the 49ers. But I tell you what. Jimmy Graham playing quarterback since he took over for
they're
Jimmy
a team
G.
to watch for next year, man. Yeah. I'm telling you.
I mean, he's been a beast.
He's 3-0 in San Francisco.
Yep.
And he was 2-0 as a starter prior to that. So the man's 5-0 as a starter.
Here's the thing: it's not like he's playing well. The defense, come on, man. Those guys are shutting people down. I mean, he's throwing for 350, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is playing legit football,
which shows you the significance of Mike Shanahan to the Atlanta Falcons. I just want to bring that up.
Yeah, I mean, you make it a good point. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about getting off track, okay? This was supposed to be the Rams at Tennessee. Tennessee got whooped by the 49ers and got way off the rails. But anyway, Tennessee getting 7 points at home. Heath.
Well, you know, based on what happened this past week, and particularly how the Rams look, I'm going to say that even at home, the 7 points is not enough. I'm going to go with the Rams in this one.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I have to agree with my boy Heath. Rams are going to – well, Heath wants to see a pasting. Watch that game, you'll see a pasting.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. I was going to do the Seattle at Dallas game. I just don't know if there's any point to it at this. It looks like an interesting game, but I'm just going to move on to Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina is giving Tampa Bay 9.5 points.
Yeah, it's a lot of points, but, you know, Carolina – playing at home right now, the way they've looked, and you know, like we said, Tampa could figure out how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory in, you know, any way imaginable. I'm going to have to lay the 9 and take Carolina in this game at home.
Okay.
Well, my understanding is that the owner of the Carolina Panthers made a few inappropriate comments.
Something like that.
Yeah. And I think that a local seafood market there said that they were willing to offer a crate of crab legs if Tampa Bay were to win the game. So I think that there's a good chance that Tampa covers the spread. So I'm going to take Tampa to 9.5.
I mean, they played with heart on Monday night, man. I mean,
they
it
got
was
nothing left to play for. If they can beat Carolina, it'll be a big way to finish up the season.
I get it. And the more I think about this, the other element is that they played and they left it all out on the field.
Yes.
But they also had a ton of injuries that, you know, we have to see, you know, if they even going to have a healthy team. I mean, it was like the Saints. They were like lining up outside the tent and, you know, like triage, trying to figure out who gets to go in next. So I'm going to have to go with Carolina just because I would imagine that by Sunday that there'll be some issues with injuries. So I'm going to go ahead and take Carolina. All right, so let's say
the
big
game. Yes, sir.
Atlanta coming to New Orleans. I mean, it's the game of the year. Probably one of the biggest games, maybe a top 10 all-time regular season big game.
Probably so.
Heath.
Well, I think this one's kind of obvious. I mean, I'm taking the Saints at home. Although, I have, you know, have some reservations about how the team has looked lately. There's some injury issues and things, but I'm hoping that this week we see the real Saints at home defending a dome, pay Atlanta back. I'm going to take the Saints and give up the 5.
I like how he came around, Tomas. You know, I think we convinced him throughout the 2 hours of the show.
I think so. Now, I have to tell you that I think this is one of the biggest games since Steve Bartkowski was quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons.
That's a big game.
And since
we were
in the same West Division with the Rams, the 49ers, the Falcons, and the Saints. So having said all that, 5.5 points, not going to do it. I see my Saints waxing the Falcons, winning by at least 3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns. So you think it's just going to be a whooping.
That's correct.
A whooping.
That's correct. And, you know, I'm so happy that Cam Jordan has his triple-double.
Right.
But look forward to seeing more problems for the poor Atlanta Falcons offensive line.
Well, Cam Jordan, 4
knockdowns,
batted
balls.
Balls. I mean, those are pass defenses.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Yeah.
Anyway, so New Orleans, Atlanta. I'm not as high on them as you, but I'm looking for the Saints to win the game somewhat handedly, and Atlanta can score some points, but I think the Saints will win the game, and I think they'll win it by more than 7. So while I don't think it's going to be a blowout like Tomas, Saints redeemed themselves. Anyway, that's all the show we have for you this week. We thank you for coming in. Listen, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
The weather outside is frightful, but the